Keeping it right here on WGN Radio throughout your day. Hope you're staying warm out there on this snowy day. And thanks so much for joining Wintrust Business Lunch. G here, G Soo Kyi. Starting off, we're going to start off with Jason Heiner, who's the editorial director at CNET. He's got some information about the new Samsung Galaxy 2 Flip. This is one of those cell phones that has the glass face and it actually folds, which is pretty awesome. Also, he's going to be sharing with us how your phone talks about you behind your back. It's collecting data about you and also sharing it with other companies as well. And Uber is doing something. It's Throwback Thursday, right? Uber is actually getting old school and old fashioned, and it's letting you call for a cab. So kind of defeats the purpose of the app, but we're going to go over all of these stories. Hi, Jason. How are you?
Hi. Good to be here, as always.
Okay, Samsung Galaxy 2 Flip coming out tonight. Are you excited?
Yeah, you know, we've been following flip phones really closely over the past year. There's been lots of interest from users looking at, like, what the future of their phone might look like and wondering, is this something that they want? And I did see it, got to use this new one on Tuesday, and I have to say, it's the most usable one that we've seen yet. For me, this was the first one that I saw, and I say, okay, I can actually use this every day and be pretty happy. It folds up, you know, on itself, so if you were look at your phone today, it looks just like that, except if you took the top half of it and folded it over the bottom half, right? So it can fit a little more neatly into pockets and into bags and those kinds of things. So I think that there are a lot of people who are going to like what this phone does. What they're not going to like is the price tag, which is about $1,400.
Oh, so, my goodness. I'm still a little suspicious that the glass screen isn't that secure, but I'll take your word for it. And really quickly, how do our phones talk behind our backs?
Yes, this is a new story from Alfred Ng from CNET, working with some researchers on the fact that these researchers had previously looked at web browsers, and we've heard a lot of the things that web browsers are doing to track you, even like Facebook and other sites. Even when you leave their site, their cookies and the information they have are tracking you. Well, now they've turned that onto your phone and apps, and they look at the data, the traffic that's being sent from these apps that's leaving them, because that tells them exactly what they're doing and what they're tracking. And a lot of these apps that unfortunately even you agreed to and said, okay, I don't mind if you track my location, you know, it's okay when I'm using the app. Well, what this new research has found is that even when you say that, they're still tracking you even beyond what you've given them permission to do. One of the ones they found the most notable was AccuWeather, which is a large app used by a lot of people, that it was actually tracking people even when it didn't give them permission, and it was recording that information and sending it back to their own servers.
You can read the entire article on CNET.com. Thanks so much to Jason Heiner. He's the editorial director there. Wintrust Business Lunch here with me, G, joined now. Bill Geiger of Geiger Wealth Management is here, Chicago's retirement planning experts. Bill, it's so great to have you in studio.
Gee, it's nice to be in today.
Fantastic. You enjoying the snowy weather?
I actually love it. I have a 4.5-year-old granddaughter. Aww. That's enchanted by it, and it makes me happy too.
I've been lucky enough to meet her, and she is adorable.
Thank you.
So, Bill, this has been a crazy news year so far. It's going to be an election year. There's mm-hmm. coronavirus. The markets are at an all-time high, but people are really scared. They're wondering how long can it keep going up. It seems like things are just a little crazy. What are the most important things that listeners getting ready for retirement should be focusing on?
Well, gee, it's especially if you're in your late 50s, early 60s, and you're getting close to retirement, you should really be focused on just two things, basically. How much risk do you have in your portfolio? And we want to stay involved in the market. We want to stay invested in the market. We want to get as much growth as we can, obviously, between now and the time we actually retire. But we want to do it with some protection. We put a safety net underneath clients' accounts so they can stay fully invested. But if the market comes down, they're protected. So that's one thing you want to be. You want to be aware of just how much risk you have in your portfolio. And the other thing is you want to use this 5 years or so that you have before you're going to retire as an opportunity to start creating dependable, sustainable income that you're going to need in retirement. Look, if you can retire and you know how you're going to pay your bills every month, and that's squared away, you have money coming into your checking account every month to pay your bills and protect your lifestyle, that's a great way to enter retirement. So those are the two big deals. Make sure you protect your portfolio against big losses and start setting up for some income.
So, Bill, how do they make sure to do that? And what are the steps that someone listening should be taking?
Well, the first thing we do when somebody comes into our office is we do a stress test on their portfolio. We look at just how much risk they have. And we use a tool called Morningstar to do that.
Okay.
And Morningstar will take every account you have, every position you have, and it prepares a 3-page report for us that lets us talk intelligently about how much risk they have. We had a couple in last week that felt like they had diversified, that they had their risk under control, but we did the test, and we found out that the next 2008 we go through, they're going to lose 45% of all the money that they've saved for how many years to getting ready for retirement. And it was a shock to them. But the great thing is we have an opportunity now to do something about that. So being aware of just how much risk you have and running those tests is really, really, really important.
I'm sure they were stunned to hear that news, but thank goodness that you were able to find it and catch it.
Yeah, and gee, it's not my opinion. Okay.
Right.
I've been doing this for 35 years. I can look at a portfolio and get a pretty good handle on it. But it's a third-party service. Morningstar is a third-party, has nothing to do with our firm, nothing to do with anybody else, and it's objective. And if Morningstar says they have a risk to lose 45% of their portfolio, I believe it. And I was happy that we got the opportunity to help these folks before there's a big correction.
So you're assessing risk, and then you're also discussing a roadmap and a game plan?
Yeah. And you know, in that meeting, we'll figure out how much risk they have, and then we'll sit down again, and we'll talk about some really specific recommendations. What do you do with your 401k? What do you do with your IRA? So we can have a safety net underneath them, so we can keep from having a big loss. You know, the key behind making money in the market, and this is going to sound a little strange, but the real key to making money in the market over time is not losing money, is not having those big losses. If you can stay fully invested, and that's what we all want to do, and have a safety net underneath your account to protect you from a big loss, you can sleep at night and you can do really, really, really well.
I am sure that when couples come in, get this guidance from you, have that initial meeting, they must leave with such a sense of relief.
We had a couple, and I mentioned this a couple months back, we had a couple come in, and when we're all done with the process and they have them squared away for retirement, you've been to our office.
Yes.
You know those big glass walls mm-hmm. we have coming into the office?
It's a beautiful office, by the way.
Thank you. This couple went outside, and because they were outside the door, they kind of felt like they had some. They kissed each other when they left the office.
They had a sense of privacy, but
it really wasn't. They were on TV almost with the glass walls. But it is a sense of relief, you know, because we all go along wondering, am I doing what I should be doing? Am I covering all the bases? Is there something I haven't thought about? Well, when you sit down and you actually put a plan together, and you understand what you have to do between now and retirement, it is a sense of relief because you got your arms wrapped around this and you can relax a little bit.
And of course, they have you to guide them throughout this meeting to map out this plan.
That's our job.
Wow.
And we specialize too. We really specialize in working with people in their late 50s and early 60s. Because at that point of your life, well, let's face it, you're not 30 years old anymore.
Right.
A 30-year-old can blow themselves up, and they've got 30 years to make the money back again.
Mm-hmm.
Late 50s, early 60s, you don't have 30 years. So it's really refreshing. That's our specialty, and that's where we really focus. We feel like we can add the most value.
Bill, and the markets have been at historic highs, but still everyone's concerned about when is that next, you know, recession going to happen? Like, how much longer can it stay so high,
And that's the importance of having a safety net underneath your account. You know, do you ever go to a circus and you see the people on the trapeze flying back and forth? If they had a safety net 10 feet underneath them, it wouldn't be that risky, would it? It'd be entertaining. It probably not as entertaining because there's not as much risk, you know. But that's basically what we do with our clients is we put a safety net underneath them. We haven't done this for a long time.
Yeah, we've been missing you, by the way.
We haven't done this for a long time. And let's do something special for our listeners. Folks, the first five callers who call in that have a portfolio of at least $500,000, we're going to sit down with you personally on a complimentary basis and help you put together a full-blown plan for your retirement. And, gee, I know you're going to talk about this. Mm-hmm. Why don't you give folks the phone number and the information and everything?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Bill, for being in studio with us today.
Real pleasure to be here,
Yeah. Are you confident that you're doing everything that you can, everything that you should be doing to prepare for retirement? Bill and his team at Geiger Wealth can help make sure you're really prepared to retire comfortably. Now, they have a special opportunity for you today. They're going to sit down with you personally to create a full-blown plan for your retirement. This is up to a $3,000 value, complimentary for the first five callers who have at least $500,000 saved for retirement. Call 800-681-2498. That's 800-681-2498. At this stage of your life, you probably have more money than you've ever had before, and you want to make sure you get this right. Bill and his team are going to translate the complex financial planning process into easy-to-understand steps with a personalized, full-blown retirement plan, now designed to help you to retire with confidence. Call Geiger Wealth right now for your complimentary, personalized, full-blown retirement plan, 800-681-2498. That's 800-681-2498. Thanks so much, Bill, for being in studio with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
A lot more coming up on WGN Radio. G here with the Wintrust Business Lunch. About 6 million couples are expected to get engaged this Valentine's Day, but nearly half will see their marriages end in divorce. Also, you got to make sure that you're insuring that engagement ring. Joining us now to talk more about what you should do if you're thinking about proposing, joining us is Eric Josiewicz from Insurance Quotes, and he's an analyst there. Hi, Eric.
Hi. Happy Valentine's Day, G.
Same to you, except that you started with a pretty dire statistic. It says nearly half will see their marriages end in divorce.
Yeah, well, this is the world we live in. I think, you know, the question really for those 6 million couples that are going to get engaged tomorrow is, who do you think they should call first?
Well, okay, who should they?
They should call their insurance agent first.
I don't know if mom and dad and the best friends are going to be happy about that.
No, trust me. Call your insurance agent, because what they need to look at is whether their homeowners or renters policy covers their investment in an engagement ring.
So once you find that out, what should you be asking if it does cover or if it doesn't?
Well, in most cases, your homeowner's or renter's policy, they're going to have limits in the property that's covered for investments like special jewelry. You're going to want to have a conversation with the agent about whether that is specifically covered. You'll probably need to provide receipts and an appraisal, and you may want to consider a rider that is specific to a piece of jewelry like an engagement ring and specifically covers that for cases where it's lost or stolen.
And Most policies go up to how much in the amount of coverage?
Well, it's part of your homeowner's policy or your renter's policy, and so it's going to really vary based on the value of that property. So there's no one rule of thumb there.
So this insurance doesn't cover you if you're jilted at the altar or anything like that?
No. Unfortunately, there's no insurance that covers you in that case.
Well, there has been a recent viral story about a popular wedding venue chain that closed abruptly. One of the locations was located here in Naperville. Is there any insurance that you can get to cover sort of wedding planning and insure a wedding venue?
Well, you know, insurance is a complicated financial instrument, and if you talk to the right person, you can probably get a policy to cover almost any contingency, but that's probably not part of a standard insurance policy that, you know, an agent is going to offer to you. So, you know, there are insurance policies that you can get for events and can cover, you know, potential losses associated with those events, but that's not going to be part of someone's homeowner's or renter's policy.
Speaking with Insurance Quotes analyst Eric Joswitz. Eric, should you be looking at your policy and seeing whether your engagement ring or eventually wedding ring will be insured for replacement or cash payment?
You absolutely need to read the fine print. The most important thing and probably the worst thing you need to do around your wedding is make sure you read the fine print that's part of your insurance policy, because understanding whether you're going to get paid full replacement value or whether you're going to get the cost of a ring in current dollars in case of a ring being lost or stolen, those are very, very different things.
And what are some of the ways that you would need to prove that the ring isn't in your possession anymore?
That's a great question. And you're going to want to look at, for a given policy, what sort of proof is required. You're also going to want to look at what's excluded. Are there cases that are excluded? If, for example, you're covered for loss, but you lose it in a sporting event or a disaster of some sort, that may not be covered in some cases. So take a look at the exclusions that are listed as part of the policy terms.
Well, the big trip that happens after the wedding usually is the honeymoon. Are most rings covered outside of the country?
If it's your personal property and you've purchased a rider to say your homeowner's insurance policy, you're going to want to make sure that that's covered in cases where you do travel outside of the country. And again, reading that fine print is going to be very, very important.
And how do we determine the price of engagement ring insurance? Like, how is that normally determined?
Well, a good rule of thumb is $1 to $2 per year for every $100 of value. So a $5,000 ring, you can expect to pay $50 to $100 a year for a rider that will insure that piece of jewelry.
Are there usually deductibles, or is it just a average cost?
There may be deductibles. Again, it's going to be very policy specific.
So should you get your ring appraised, I'm assuming, before you get this insurance quote, but then should you continue to get the ring appraised as time goes by?
Absolutely. It can't hurt, and you want to make sure that you're communicating regularly with your insurance agent about changes in value of the property that's being insured. So, you know, every 5 years, every 10 years, it's not a bad habit to be in to reappraise your jewelry and then have a conversation with your insurance agent and make sure that you're properly covered.
And I'm assuming you want to make sure that your appraiser has the right credentials and that you're also getting a really authentic certificate or a grading report.
Absolutely. And your insurance agent can probably also give you some advice on who an appropriate appraiser is and what sort of certifications you should be looking for.
Well, Eric, I guess we need your number just so that way folks proposing tomorrow can call you right after they propose.
Absolutely. Well, they can call me right away.
And what's your website?
They can go to insurancequotes.com and get more information on all sorts of insurance.
Well, thank you so much for reminding us of something that we should do, but a lot of folks are probably not thinking about. Happy Valentine's tomorrow, and thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, G. Have a great day.
A lot more coming up on WGN Radio. Wintrust Business Lunch. Now I am being joined with WGN Radio's own Amy Guth.
Hello, and happy Galentine's Day to you.
Oh, it is Galentine's
Day.
It's
the day where we appreciate our lady friends in our life, our gal pals. And happy Galentine's Day.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you for being here in studio.
Gladly. Well, it's really gross outside, so.
It really is.
As luck would have it, I don't want to go out there.
And I feel like I have not done a good job today. Oh, my goodness.
You're fine. You're fine.
I'm getting there. What do you have in trending business news?
Okay, so I have been keeping my eye on a little swath of the city that has very little on it right now, but it's about to have a lot. And this is an area, it's kind of, at its southern border is Chinatown, northern is Roosevelt Road. It has been largely empty. There's really nothing there. And to think about a swath of land that close to the Loop Center with nothing in it is kind of strange. But that is the place where, for a while, the development has been planned for the 78 and the Discovery Partners Institute, all that. There have been so many subplots of this big drama, right? Because Rauner said, okay, $500 million, we're gonna earmark this money to make the Discovery Partners Institute happen in the center of the 78 mega development, this big tech hub. And then Pritzker came in and said, well, U of I, you need to raise some of that money on your own, and then I will release the $500 million. So yesterday, Pritzker said, you have the 500, it's on, you now have this big anchor for the 78 development. So suddenly that kicks the 78 into high gear. That's one of two big mega developments that we've been talking about a lot this year. Lincoln Yards is the other one. That had a lot of feelings around it, right?
Oh, yeah. There was so much controversy around that development.
Exactly. Because there's existing structures. Some were businesses that did a lot of kind of rallying of the troops on their own, like the Hideout, places like that, that were like, hey, we don't need change here. We're good. We're kind of an institution. This is a little bit different. There were some residents that live a little bit east of there that voiced some concerns. I believe most of them were addressed kind of the first time. But this has been kind of a start-stop kind of thing where people were kind of like, eh, I believe it when I see it. But now the developer that's in charge of this 78 that's running with this project, once you have a commitment from the U of I and this Discovery Partners Institute, pretty much in the smack dab of this plot of land, suddenly that changes, right? Because now you can go to tenants and go, okay, would you like to sign a lease here in a building we're going to make? Because this big honking thing is going to be built here. So that is one piece of it. Another part of it is that the U of I Board of Trustees chairman, his name is Don Edwards, he has just made the largest ever gift from a board trustee to U of I, earmarked for this, to help this development, as well as some satellite schools around the state that'll benefit from this hub being there. And it's really kind of the crux of this is really the focus on, you know, we have a lot of programming for students to learn about a lot of technology and engineering and STEM sort of fields, and then they go somewhere else to get a job. So this is about how do we keep businesses and grads here doing STEM related work, and this is a very big step towards that.
So this is going to combat brain drain for the city.
I mean, hopefully, I don't know. I think stupid is everywhere, but you know, but hopefully it's going to recruit a lot of smart people to stay here or come here, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we have tech hubs in, I think when we talk about genetics companies and all the DNA testing, that's centered around Boston. You've got MIT and Harvard and all those. And we all know like how things are in Silicon Valley. There's a lot happening here, and we have one of the few supercomputers in the world here now, right? So here, you know, it's this big moment, I think, to kind of seize this. And so the U of I Board of Trustee President was at a press conference yesterday with Pritzker when he announced this, and Lightfoot talking about the job creation, all this. Pritzker says this is about what's at stake is about a $19 billion, you know, economic boost to the city. When you look at renderings of what's planned, it's really quite an impressive thing. And if you think about that area, I mean, I was looking at it in terms, because, okay, I've kayaked the entire Chicago River, so I always think of it in terms of what did I see where. There's nothing on that side. The other side is a lot of metro tracks. So there's going to be a lot of revitalization. When you think about the Red Line, there's the stop on Roosevelt. There's not another one until Chinatown. So there's even talk of eventually having a midpoint there, because you're going to need, if you're going to put a bunch of people there, you're going to need to access it. If you're going to put a bunch of companies there, those workers need to eat lunch. So there's going to be a lot going on in this area. The big next step, there's going to be a little bit of infrastructure tweaking. Some of the roads need to be extended, the aforementioned public transportation issues. There's going to be some construction from the developer on the north end of that property pretty quickly, they say within the next year or so. But they're also going to try to clean up along the river so that people kind of walking by and running there can kind of see, oh, this is kind of exciting. There's houses and buildings and stuff. And then they're going to start looking for that. Who is that big tenant? I mean, it makes sense that it's somebody in the health and life sciences realm, somebody that, a big tech firm, something like that. We'll see. There's going to, I predict a lot of news out of that area. And when you look at properties like the old post office that's competing for tenants, Lincoln Yards eventually will start doing the same. Plus, so much conversation about, you know, the West Loop and Fulton Market. I think I predict we might get into kind of a bit of like something like a tug of war for big, big leases here in the city of who's going to go where. So that'll be really interesting to watch.
I think 2020 is going to be an exciting year for tech, for innovation, for all the STEM.
Hopefully for us, like everybody. I don't know.
I don't know. It just seems to be a renewed commitment from the city and all the companies that are coming
here. Well,
we'll
see. I mean, you know, one thing to consider is that where we are in the economic cycle, you know, so a mega development, that could be, I mean, the numbers they're looking at could be up to 7 to 10 years before they get completely finished with the south edge of that. You know, so that could be a lot of stuff and that could be a long time. Who knows where we'll be in the economic cycle by the time that's done. So there's a lot of factors to consider. But I mean, those are very positive signs. And it seems like a lot of space here for new leases.
We've got time for one more quick business trending story, if you've got one.
Well, I think this is kind of a, I hate to say funny because it is quite serious, but it is a little funny to think of this. But so Amazon has said, hey, we want to put in a warehouse in Bolingbrook. And the longtime mayor of Bolingbrook, he's been mayor for 33 years, is not even close to having it. He's really not having this. And excuse me. What, you know, that part is, he has the info. They need some zoning changes in order to do this warehouse. They're saying, hey, 1500 jobs, making $15 an hour. And he was like, that's not enough. He even said, that's not a living wage. His quote was, that is not even a living wage. Will County is full of distribution centers. There are a ton of jobs like this. So he's like, that, what that puts you at, I want a big, you know, if you're going to bring some big company here, pay a livable wage so people can reinvest in this community. He cites, you know, the building's going to be unsightly and it's not going to have windows. He said since it's kind of at the intersection of Route 53 and I-55, he's like, that, I think what he said is, that's already a nightmare traffic-wise. Like, you're talking about 200 trucks a day coming in and out of there. I'm not having it. He's really just like, I made it very clear. So he went to the you know, the village board this week, and he was like, nope. And he claims he didn't get any pushback. So it's going to be interesting. Amazon didn't respond to his statement exactly, but earlier they said, you know, this is kind of about hedging our bets. We want to be able to respond quickly and snap up land so that we can move when we need to. But I just think this is kind of an interesting drama playing out between Amazon and the mayor of Bolingbrook.
That's impressive. You don't imagine many people saying no to Amazon.
That's so right. You know, and that's kind of something a lot of people have been noting, that here's something that a lot of people in his shoes would want. But he's like, no, that's going to create more problems than it's worth.
Well, thanks so much. WGN Radio's Amy Guth talking about trending business stories. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.